Previously on Total BS.
We are in the Total BS tailgate kitchen now, and my fiance Paige has joined us. On all three of us are about to partake in some shitty frat house beers. Cheers to round two. We're drinking Bush Light now. Tastes the same.
No,
it's worse.
It's worse? It has more of a...
Oh, it's got a bad aftertaste.
That's what I was going to say, the after. There goes Paige's down the sink. It definitely has, a more prominent aftertaste.
It just tastes like it was made in a backyard.
That's a very good description.
This is Total BS with Brooks Carter and Sammy Kincaid.
And welcome in to Total BS, the relaunch.
We should call it the relaunch.
That's what we're going to call it.
Yeah. Like episode 17 / relaunch.
Yes, we are back, and I guess better than ever.
Definitely better than ever.
I'm on a weekday schedule now.
Yes, he finally joined the morning team, so he can finally understand my struggle. When we record this, after being up for how many hours?
I don't know. I mean,
you don't want to keep count.
Sammy is permanently on the struggle bus, though. I don't even know if the schedule has anything to do with it.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I really do.
Sammy is especially on the struggle bus after what happened this past weekend.
Yeah, I am. But we're okay. We are powering through, and I'm wide awake for this one.
All
right. Straight my spark. I'm wide awake for it.
So let's get into it this week. Remember to follow each of us on Twitter, me at Brooks A. Carter, Sammy at Sammy Kincaid. You can follow the show at Total BS Pod. Have not been very active on there recently. And just a quick reason, summary into why we have not had a show. I, in addition to my duties at the TV station where Sammy and I work, I also took on a job with the local ESPN radio affiliate here.
Can we get a round of applause?
With ESPN 105.1 The Zone here in Chattanooga, and I've been quite busy until I actually transitioned to the morning schedule because
I had a lot of changes going from night side or day side in the weekends to now Monday through Friday mornings.
Well, and I had Monday and Tuesday off from the TV station,
yeah.
And I was working at the radio station those 2 days, so I've been working 7 days a week, and I was like, Sammy, I'm too damn busy. I'm tired. I can't do this.
I don't understand why you would ever be tired from that, Brooks. Jeez.
Yeah, so you can follow each of us on Twitter, me at Brooks A. Carter, Sammy at Sammy Kincaid, and the podcast at Total BS Pod. You can follow and subscribe to the show on SoundCloud and iTunes. Just search Total BS Podcast and get updated and notified when new episodes drop. And Sammy, so let's get into it this week. Before we jump all over the Vols, like every freaking show in the
you
state
hear
of Tennessee.
My heart breaking right now.
Every show in Tennessee. Every show in the state of Tennessee's done this week.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't just Knoxville; it was Chattanooga. So before we get into that, let's look at the NFL here real quick. Best thing we saw all week comes from Marshawn Lynch, who is
back
just
in his hometown.
Is just happy as hell to be in Oakland.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Loved watching him dance. He was really getting into it. Everyone should live their life how he was living his life.
The only thing that would have made that better was if what's Will Smith's daughter's name?
Oh, is it Willow?
Willow. Well, yeah.
Willow.
If the I Whip My Hair Back and Forth song would have been playing,
that would have been perfect.
Because he's got the long dreads that he's
yeah.
just whipping all over the place. Yeah. I don't know how he didn't. You talk about concussions in NFL. I don't know how he didn't get a concussion from whipping his head back and forth.
Yeah,
yeah, that's been all over social media and
you should check it out if you haven't seen it. It'll definitely cheer you up seeing how happy he is. And like I said, everyone should
The NFL is a better place with Marshawn Lynch back in it. So
yes.
It's nice to see him enjoying his hometown. So let's get into the BS meter this week, and we're going to start out with arguably two of the greatest radio broadcast calls probably in SEC history. And I put this in here. Mick Hubert is the lead play-by-play guy for the Gators on the Gators IMG Sports Radio Network. He had the fantastic call of the Gators winning on the final play of the game. But we're going to match that up against Bob Kesling from the Vols Radio Network with the one he had last year against Georgia. So take a listen. We're going to compare and contrast, and then Sammy and I are going to argue it out over who had the better game-winning call.
But you can never guess what I want.
So now here we are, 9 seconds left. Gators first down, 37-yard line, left hash. Snap to Franks. Franks dropping back, stepping up, running the ball, looking. He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. Tyreek Cleveland. Oh, my. I can't believe what I just saw. The Gators have won the ball game on a bomb thrown by Felipe Franks. And this place is an insane asylum again. Oh, my. Have beaten Tennessee again.
Dobbs drops back, looks, loads up, fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught by Tennessee.
Tennessee wins!
Caught it by Tennessee, Juwan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch in the end zone on the Hail Mary.
I don't believe I saw that.
All right, Sammy. Personally, Kessling, great announcer. Hubert sounded like he was... Like, he sounded like he was climaxing.
Yes.
That man might need a cigarette after that's over.
No, I will give him that. And we've talked about Kessling versus I mean, I'm going to go with the Vols on this one. The Vols call, but Kessling, we've gone over this before. He's not always been my favorite announcer or radio
whatever you want to call it.
Yes. I'm struggling on words right now. He's not ever been my favorite, but, I mean, it was a great call. And
my favorite part about that one.
I guess I'm just – let me finish. I had to go that way because I'm still a little heartbroken, and I just can't get over it yet. We're just going to go on that.
It's funny, too, that those happened in consecutive years. It's ironic.
Or karma?
Yeah, that's. I immediately tweeted that. I said, "Dog fans are thinking karma right now."
Yeah,
because they had their hearts ripped out last year by Tennessee, and Tennessee fans had the same thing happen to them this week. I think the Dogs fans had their hearts ripped out a little more because they thought they had the game won. I think had Tennessee actually scored and gone ahead, that it would actually hurt even worse. Because at that point, you were like, okay, we're going to overtime. Ball game's tied up 20-20. Dog fans had just had a play of their own where they have a last-second miracle to go ahead at the end of the game, and there's hardly any time left on the clock. And I don't doubt that had there been time left on the clock, knowing the way that Butch Jones' teams have played, that Tennessee would have had another Hail Mary.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Except Juwan Jennings wasn't playing, but I really think that Callaway probably would have called it. That dude's a machine.
He is a machine. And talking about another Callaway, we're going to have John Reed on the show later, and his boss, Nate Hodges, actually brought it up that the play that we were talking about earlier in the week whenever Nate tweeted something out, I think it was actually Houston that quoted Nate on it, that the play that Florida ran – to win the game was the same play that they ran 2 years ago to beat the Vols in the Swamp.
And that actually played into why the defense was playing the way they were. I don't know if you saw on NFL Countdown, of all shows, the NFL Countdown.
They were even talking about
it. They were ripping the coaching staff to shreds on there. It was Randy Moss and Charles Woodson, you know, two Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
I think they know what they're talking about. But that they were talking about how that actually played into why the Vols were playing the way they were. They had guys in the middle of the field because they were guarding a dig route because there was 9 seconds left. The Gators still had a timeout. So they're not actually guarding the goal line, more so thinking of the long pass to score a touchdown. They're more so because had he not scrambled out of the pocket, if he stands in the pocket, throws a pass real quick, maybe about a 20-yard in route, they call a timeout. It's probably second or two left on the clock. They can rush the field goal team out. That's what Tennessee was guarding against, and that's truly why I believe they were out of position, because they were sitting there having flashbacks to what happened the last time they were there with Antonio Callaway and Will Greer, both of whom are not even on the field for the Gators anymore. Will Greer did PEDs, and Antonio Callaway is probably going to be a convicted felon.
Yeah.
That's beside the point, but yeah. A lot to talk about with the Vols today, and like Sammy said, we're going to get into it with John Reed, who has been absolutely on fire on Twitter.
Yes, you should give him a follow. If
at John about a million underscores Reed.
Yes.
I'm not exactly sure how many underscores
that
is.
I think it's two.
It looks more like four.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does.
John blank space Reed. So let's move on to our second BS topic this week on the BS meter. So Los Angeles got the Rams back after a 20-plus year hiatus of them moving to St. Louis last year. They're playing in the Coliseum right now where the USC Trojans play temporarily until they get their stadium built. Well, the Chargers jump onto that. They're going to be playing in the new stadium out in Inglewood as well once it's built in 2019. In the meantime, they're playing in a freaking MLS stadium.
Yeah.
And let me just start off by – let's preview what we're going to talk about by stating that the Los Angeles Galaxy have higher attendance than the Chargers do.
It's pathetic. Why does LA need two teams?
They went so long without having one, and now all of a sudden they've got two, and the Raiders were trying to move there too.
Absolutely insane. So just to throw out some of the numbers, the Rams drew 56,612. Chargers, they had 25,381 this past Sunday. So combined, do some math for you, it's almost 82,000. It's just under 82,000. The USC versus Texas game on Saturday, 84,714. So still more than the two NFL games combined. Why does LA need the two teams? BS or not, that LA needed two teams.
Well, they may not have needed one. And what I was, you know, what I said to you earlier is wait till one of these teams starts winning. Wait till one of these teams starts winning. First of all, the Rams are going to be number one team in LA, regardless of how well the Chargers are doing. The Rams are going to be the Lakers, and the Chargers are going to be the Clippers. Because the Rams were the team that was there. That's the team that Los Angeles associates with. LA fans wanted the Rams and the Raiders, not the Rams and the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know where the fans are really going to come from with San Diego, with the San Diego Chargers moving there. You know, they had a great fan base in San Diego. It sucks that they're not there anymore and they couldn't get that figured out. I was fine with the Rams moving back there. Not a fan whatsoever of the Chargers moving there.
Not at all.
It doesn't feel like it's a right fit, and I don't know. I just think the attendance woes are going to continue for the Chargers, in my opinion. Once the Rams start, if the Rams were winning right now, there would be more people in the stands. And once the Rams move into that new stadium, they're going to have good attendance. I don't know if it matters where the Chargers play, even though they're going to be in that new stadium with the Rams.
Yeah, no, we were talking about it earlier about once the teams start winning, and
you're right.
For example, the Chargers the last 2 weeks, it had to be so hard for any of the fans watching on TV. They obviously weren't in the stands. But the field goal was blocked 2 weeks ago, and then this week, whenever they're playing the Dolphins, and I just have to say his name because I love his name. Young Ho Koo misses a 44-yard field goal, and the Dolphins end up winning it. Both of those are getting so close. They're just disappointing games. And even the cannon that they shoot off whenever at the end of the game, whenever they expect to make or whenever they expect to win, they shot off the cannon because they expected him to make the field goal. How disappointing for that fan base.
Well, they probably had to hire an all-new – you know, grounds crew, whatever. I'm sure none of those, they don't pay those dudes enough. Like the dudes that work for game day operations, they don't pay those dudes enough to relocate from San Diego and live in LA, arguably the highest cost of living in the entire United States. So,
yeah.
They probably got a bunch of rookies out there doing it, and they shot off the cannon too soon.
Yeah, and you were talking about fans not coming from San Diego to LA. We were both just out in L.A. I don't know if your friends out there would take you to San Diego, but I know the friends I had, they were like, no, that's so far. That's so far because it takes an hour just to get
The thing, too, is
it's so inconvenient for San Diego to – people from San Diego to come
there. Your diehard sports fans will always show up.
Mm-hmm.
But in a city like L.A., there's so many other things to do.
Exactly.
And it's different even from New York or Chicago, where there's a bunch of things to do as well. Those are the two other
spread out in LA.
Exactly. Those are the two other largest sports markets in the United States, but their fans show up every week. Part of that is the weather being so gorgeous year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, everything's spread out. The beach is there. There's so many things to do that if you're not winning, why the hell am I going to show up and watch you?
Yeah. For a disappointing game like that.
The only team that they consistently show up to watch is the Lakers, even when they're losing. And it's always been that way, and it always will be. So let's move on to the third item on our BS meter here this week to wrap it up. The Wall Street Journal released an article yesterday, as we record this on a Wednesday, showing new evidence against Ole Miss in their ongoing NCAA investigation. Article states that Hugh Freeze was using burner phones, which are basically like these little, the pay-as-you-go phones, like just basically...
What you give your side piece.
Yeah, pretty much. To illegally contact recruits. Think about that for a second. I'm going to take you back to July when Hugh Freeze resigned. Do you remember why he resigned?
Yes, and that was because he was contacting escorts.
From a state-issued, university-issued cell phone. So this dumbass is smart enough to hide his recruiting...
But not the escorts!
He's smart enough to hide his illegal contacts with recruits on a burner phone, but... I'm gonna call these prostitutes on this work an official university state issued phone. BS or not, that Hugh Freeze
is the biggest dumbass.
That Hugh Freeze is the dumbest coach that's ever been fired. I mean, because you think about some of the stuff that's gone on with in college football.
It's not BS. He 100% is.
I mean, he wasn't even necessarily doing anything like morally wrong, like Art Briles, where he was covering up like rape and sexual assault. He had some stuff. He had some side business going on, like recruiting allegations. Whatever. Everybody's just looking for a competitive advantage. I would venture to say that 75% of the colleges at the Power Five level have some sort of issue with burner phones.
I would say a little bit higher than that, even.
I was just shooting a little low. But the fact that he's willing to that's just so dumb. It's so dumb to me that he would choose to, because he's obviously got these phones, and where does the connection, like, how is that connection not made? That's like, well, if I'm going to do this, I should probably use one of these burner phones to do it too, not the state issued phone.
That's constantly tracked.
If I'm Hugh Freeze, my state-issued phone has a big-ass Ole Miss logo on it, and the only phone calls that are coming in and out of that are for official business.
Yeah.
Not some side hoe.
It's really ridiculous. And just so dumb.
You are so dumb, for real. All right, we will be back after this break. That has been the BS Meter. We're going to have John Reed from Fox Sports Radio in Knoxville on to talk anything and everything Vols. The heartbreak, the Vols fans have been freaking out all week. And
distraught all week.
And have been calling for Butch Jones's head. So we're going to talk all about that next segment, so stay tuned.
He's a Bammer.
Sweet home Alabama.
And she's a Vol. Total BS with Brooks Carter and Sammy Kincaid.
And welcome back into Total BS, joined on the phone line now by John Reed from Fox Sports Radio in Knoxville and a good friend of Sammy's. And, John, I might add that you were absolutely killing it on social media. just out of curiosity, about how many impressions did you have on Twitter in the last few days?
I didn't really keep up with impressions. I know over the last like week, I've picked up 400 or 500 followers. It's been a good last couple of days for the whole brand.
Yeah, I also saw where y'all's podcast, I think, reached top 10 college football podcast on iTunes downloads, which is pretty impressive. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it got all the way up to number 10. I believe that's where we peaked.
Wow, congratulations.
So, thank you. Tennessee fans' misery, y'all are capitalizing on it, I suppose. So,
yeah, seven hours after the game, we took 7 straight hours of phone calls. No commercial breaks. We had 3 phone lines. As soon as one person would drop off, another person would jump on. It was pretty crazy. By 2 a.m., I was just like, please stop calling. No more phone calls. That's it.
You're going to
no
take more. Feinbaum's job with these crazy callers calling in for that long.
Yeah, it was easy. I think that's why we got up to top 10, is just because the post-game show was so crazy. It was ridiculous. People mad, angry, hurting, sad. It was a nice mixture.
So let's talk about the game and why the fans were so upset. I saw some very interesting tweets from all over the VFL fan base there. And just take me through your emotions as the game played out. Obviously, at one point in the fourth quarter, Tennessee looked totally out of it, but in a Butch Jones resiliency type way, the team somehow dicked around and found their way back into the game. Just take me through your emotions as that game was playing out.
Well, the first half was just so frustrating because you had opportunities to score, and you just kept missing field goals. You kept messing up. Dorman, he didn't look very good. But that was the worst Florida team that I've seen as a Tennessee fan. Like, that's the worst Florida team I think I've watched. And to be down at halftime was one thing. To come out, get down on first and goal from the, you know, from inches away and not be able to score at all, like that was probably one of the more frustrating moments ever as a Tennessee fan. And I think that's why you've seen so much anger, you know, coming out of that. When you get to the fourth quarter, you're down 10, they break off a 70-yard run, you have a defensive back make a great play and strip the ball, and the next thing you know, you have the ball down 3, driving to take the lead, and then you don't give your best player the ball. Like, John Kelly doesn't touch the ball down the goal line, and I get that he dropped a pass, I get that, but the mismanagement of the clock, like not making Florida waste any time or call any timeouts and not giving John Kelly any carries, like that was kind of hard to defend. And I think that's why you've seen so much anger today and this week just after that game. I think we've won the swap twice since I've been alive, and you should have had a third time, and you blew it.
Should have been a fourth time.
Yeah.
Should have been the past 2 times the Vols were on the swap.
Yeah. Yeah, Butch could easily be 4-0, I think, against the Vols, and he's 1-3. So
against the Gators, yeah.
Or sorry, against the Gators. He should be
4-4. He could easily be 4-1. I would say 2013, the first time he went to Florida, he started Peterman. Like, that team probably wasn't good enough to go on the road and win. I'll give him a pass for that one, but the other 4 times, he has found a way to either lose or put himself in a real bad hole and have to climb out of it.
And you were talking about John Kelly and how the Vols did not, Butch didn't give him the ball to run it whenever they were inside the 10. I saw a tweet. I thought it was pretty funny, and it's really going back to the fundamentals. Why overthink it? It said, Coach, I'm sitting a yard away from my wife. Do you hand her the remote or do you throw it at her? I mean, it just really takes it back to the fundamentals, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
Do what
the
works.
The first time you get a false start penalty, so like you're back to the 5, you're back to the 6-yard line. Dorminey wasn't accurate enough to be throwing the ball down there. Now, granted, I believe it was Palmer did drop a touchdown. So, like, if Palmer catches that touchdown or John Kelly's able to catch the ball that Dorminey threw behind him and score, like, we're not as mad about it. But they didn't, and you didn't put yourself in the best position to win. So then all of a sudden, you open yourself up for criticism. It's like the Super Bowl 3 or 4 years ago with the Seahawks and Patriots. Like, if the Seahawks threw the ball and they scored a touchdown, no one thinks it's dumb. But instead, when you don't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the 1-yard line and you throw an interception, you open yourself up for criticism for the rest of your life. And that's kind of what happened.
Y'all need to invest in some T-shirts like us Alabama fans invested in when Lane Kiffin was there that said "Run the damn ball, Lane." Y'all need to get some that say "Run the damn ball, Butch." So, looking at Butch, it's an interesting climate right now, not only in Knoxville but in the entire SEC. This is the most I think I've ever heard people talk about coaches on the hot seat mid-season potentially getting fired. All over the conference. You got Butch, you got Gus Malzahn, you got Kevin Sumlin, who may not make it out of September, Brett Bielema, Barry Odom. Do you ever remember a time where the climate has been like this with the SEC coaches?
No, but I also don't remember a time when the coaches have been that bad. Look at the guys you named. Like, none of them have won anything. I mean, granted, Malzahn his first year, went to the national championship, but if you remember that season, it was like so fluky. It was really a team that probably should have went 8-5. Instead, they found themselves in the championship. But ever since then, they've been a pretty much an 8-win program. All around, every team kind of maxes out at 8 wins, and that's with, you know, always buying 2 or 3 of them against non-conference opponents. Who's the second best coach in the conference right now?
Dan Mullen.
Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, right? And then, okay, now who's the third best? Like, you can make the case it's Derek Mason just because he's maximizing his talent the most at Vanderbilt. Like, Vanderbilt's played pretty well this year. And for Mississippi State and Vanderbilt to have the second and third best coaches in the conference, that's dumb. They shouldn't have the money to compete with the Georgias and Floridas and Tennessees and LSUs and Texas A&Ms. It's really bad. And I think the SEC network giving all these schools so much money, you know, over the last couple of years, every school gets like a $50 million check from the SEC network. I think in the long run, that's hurt the programs because they don't have to strive to be great. They can still sit back, win 8 games, and still make a whole lot of money. Tennessee was the most profitable school in the SEC last year, you know, as they went 8-4 and were disappointing. And I think overall, that's a problem.
What do you think it would take for John Curry to fire Butch Jones midseason?
I think a loss to Georgia next week would be pretty bad for Butch Jones. I think a loss, especially you saw the way Georgia traveled to Notre Dame, Sammy. Like, the Georgia fans showed up and kind of overtook that stadium. If Georgia gets them 25,000-30,000 fans and say they beat Tennessee like by 14 or 17 points, and in the fourth quarter Tennessee fans leave early or start booing, and then Georgia fans kind of are loud and take control, I think that would send the message that, hey, it's over, it's a wrap.
And you guys have been talking a lot. You've been having a field day with Coach Jones pressers. I was looking at some screenshots, some screen grabs that Houston took earlier, and it was from 2015 after the Florida game. And Coach Jones was talking about how they could easily be 4-0 versus 2-2. And today he was saying he doesn't believe that a game comes down to one or two plays. And it was completely opposite of what he was saying 2 years ago. Do you think anyone can trust anything that comes out of his mouth right now?
Like, I've said some things probably 2 years ago that would kind of suck to have them brought back up. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that was a gotcha moment, if you will. Like,
they do it with the president all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I know. Like, it happens. That's how social media works, I guess. But I won't be hard on him for that. In his presser today, it seemed like John Curry's finally told him, hey, enough with the nonsense. Come out, say you're mad. Say that you wanted to win. I think he did try to say the right things. And I think John Curry kind of instructed that, which makes me think that, you know, the seat's a little bit hotter over there than some people would make you think.
Let's look at the quarterback situation, John. Garantano obviously has not seen any meaningful snaps to this point in the year. And, you know, one of the things Butch referenced when he came in the game, when Dormady had to go out, he didn't feel that it was fair or that Garantano wasn't almost ready to take a snap on a meaningful snap on the goal line. What do you think's going on with that quarterback situation? And if Dormady looks as bad as he did throughout the first half of that game, why not, you know, at least give Garantano a chance?
I got a couple theories on this. First of all, like, it seems as if we were all lied to all offseason when they said it was a quarterback competition. Because if it was a true competition and it was as close as they acted, you would have seen Garantano get more snaps. But here's my theory. Garantano is a break in case of emergency move. Like in the NFL and sometimes in college football, it's fire your coordinators, right? In college football, say Butch Jones is 3-3, 3-4, whatever the record be after Alabama. You start playing Garantano down the stretch and he looks promising, and then you start winning. It's, oh, look what we have coming back next year. Things are okay. I think Garantano at this point is kind of a last-ditch effort to get fans buying, get back into the future. And it's not Dormady's fault. It's just you can't have an unathletic quarterback running your read option. It doesn't work. We saw it with Justin Worley. Like, it's not their fault. It's like if they put me out at left tackle and tell me to block, like, it's not my fault. It's kind of the coaches for putting me in that situation. And I feel like that's a lot of it with Dormady.
And I was hoping media would address it during his presser today or this week about some cryptic tweets, especially one from Tyler Bird. Do you think we could possibly have players leaving midseason like last year, for example, with Jalen Hurd?
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of transfers just these last 3 or 4 years. But, I mean, if you're Tyler Bird, you could probably be a first-round defensive back, right? Like, you were a top 100 cornerback when you were recruited. Tennessee needs defensive backs. Like, Tyler Bird has a better chance of making the NFL as a defensive back. Instead, he's played 3 games, or I guess he missed Indiana State. He's played 2 games this season and has 0 catches. Like, if I were him, I would be transferring. Wouldn't you? Like, wouldn't you want to have your best chance to succeed?
I mean, it makes sense. You're exactly right. It's just, yeah. How has he not addressed that yet?
Shaq Wiggins, who was an all-ACC defensive back and who transfers here for his senior season as a grad transfer, and he hasn't seen the field. And it's frustrating, like, as your defense is not doing very good in the secondary, right? Like, it's one thing to come back and sit behind a good player. Like, if you're sitting behind a star, like, say, Kyle Phillips last year sitting behind Derek Barnett, that's one thing. But to be sitting behind guys that are getting beat, like, that has to be really, really frustrating.
All right, John, I got one last, funny note for y'all to end on. I'm sure it's been addressed at some point throughout the last few weeks on your radio show. Do Tennessee fans take any sort of, find it funny or take any sort of guilty pleasure in the fact that Jalen Hurd transferred to a Baylor program that now looks like one of the worst Power 5 programs in the country?
To me, I just feel sad for everybody involved. I feel sad that Jalen Hurd had to go to Baylor. Like, that. Why Baylor? Like, could he have not gone somewhere else? Could he have not been better off just staying and playing wide receiver, tight end at Tennessee instead of wasting a year to play at Baylor, who's 0-3?
Got beat by Liberty.
I feel bad for Hurd. I feel bad for Tennessee. I feel bad for Baylor. Like, some people have laughed at it, but to me, it's just sad. For him, I mean, I didn't really like Hurd, and I thought John Kelly and Kamara fit the offense better. But, I mean, he did give his all for Tennessee for 2 years. Like, that's not a cliche. Like, his freshman and sophomore season, he played through injuries. He played through shoulders. He played through concussions. Like, he just, I don't know. I don't know what happened his junior year. That's a great mystery as to why all of a sudden he tapped out. The Baylor. Why go to Baylor, Jalen? Like, Baylor? Really?
And then they get beat by Liberty to start the year.
Yeah, like, they suck. They were 14-point underdogs to Duke, and Duke beat them by 14. Like, go to, like, Houston or Temple or somewhere. Don't go to Baylor.
I couldn't agree anymore with you. John Reed from Fox Sports Knoxville, thanks for coming on with us. We really appreciate it. I know you've had a long week, long weekend after everything that's gone on.
Oh, yeah. I'm exhausted, but I told Sammy I'd come on, so here I am. But I had fun. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thanks for coming on,
John. It's the life you live as a Vols fan, I suppose.
Yeah. Alabama, so great. I get it.
Oh, no, I'm not rubbing it in, man. I just.
Yeah, I'm out of here. See you guys.
Bye, all right. John.
Once again, that was John Reed from Fox Sports Radio in Knoxville. We'll be back to go to Skip to BS next. Stay tuned.
always striving to effectively communicate.
Tell them about it, JoJo.
Now we where the kind of fuck are we going? That we are going to book all that man back.
This is Total BS.
Yo, the real world sucks sometimes. It's time to escape the BS.
And welcome back into Total BS as Miss Kincaid pours another glass of wine here. She's going to hold it.
Can you hear it?
That was quite the pour, too.
That was quite the pour. That is a good pour.
That is what we call in our household as a page pour, where the majority...
That's why me and Paige are friends. We're both winos.
Where the majority of the glass is filled up. If it can fit in the glass, it is not too much.
Exactly. Exactly.
So this segment, we're going to dive into something that is very relatable to Sammy and I.
Yes. Props to Brooks for finding this article. I have died laughing at how true this article is to game days.
So it is courtesy of the Odyssey Online, which is a hilarious website. Most of it is college-based content, and most of it is from contributors from colleges throughout the United States. This comes from Bella Thorin, who is a student at the University of Alabama. That's how I came across it. She actually posted this in the Alabama Student Ticket Exchange group on Facebook, and it blew up. And yeah, it is absolutely hilarious. So basically, in this article, she goes through and talks about the article is titled "The Stream of Consciousness of Bama Girls versus Bama Guys on Game Day." And like I said, this is applicable to pretty much anyone that went to a big SEC school, especially if you, well, not necessarily, but especially if you participated in Greek life. But, I mean, most girls at big SEC schools dress up for game day anyways. Paige was not one of those. She may have done that maybe one game a year.
I was definitely one of those.
Other than that, she is a blue jeans and a Bama t-shirt kind of girl.
Yeah. There was only...
Loose clothes so I can drink as much beer as I want at the tailgate.
See, the only time I've ever worn something loose to a game is if I'm wearing like an oversized jersey.
Fair enough.
With jorts.
And that's one of the things they talked about in
there.
Or
a jean skirt.
So it kind of just takes you through the day. And it says, so it's at 8 a.m. and the girls are like freaking out because they're trying to do their hair and makeup.
You got to get your hair done and you got to put your face on.
Oh, Lord.
There's so much you have to do before a game day.
And then the guy says, all right, 6 hours till kickoff. I'll just lie here for a while. 9 a.m., girls on the phone talking with...
This is my favorite.
Go ahead and read it for us.
Says, on the phone, no, Jenna, I don't want to go to Sigma Apple Pie's tailgate. Brock is going to be there. Yes, we still have to walk past it if I'm going to look this good. How about Alpha Scrambled Exalot? They're having jello shots. Wait, 1 second. Jenna, my curling iron, my hair is on fire. Which is so true, because there's so many things going on while you're trying to get ready for game day. Which, at one point in this article, I will say I kind of relate to the guy, because in the background you have College Game Day or SEC Nation in the background. At least I'm watching those in the background while I'm getting ready. You're trying to, for example, it also talks about how you have to get a workout in before, or you want to get a workout in before, but I mean, it's a Saturday morning after a Friday night and you're in college.
Yeah, and the guy's thing at 9 a.m. was like, oh, 9 a.m., might as well watch ESPN and catch some college game day.
Yeah.
10 a.m., jersey or dress?
Like, exactly.
Might I add, oversized jersey that looks like a dress.
Yes, exactly.
It fits like a dress.
Which is not hard whenever you're my size. Even yes. The small looks like a dress. No, exactly, though. You have the oversized jersey, a dress, and cowboy boots. It's pretty easy.
Guys, tough decision time. Whiskey, vodka, how about both?
I mean...
More so beer and whiskey. I'm out on the vodka.
See, I just have my little bottles of wine, and I'm good to go. You stuff them in your boots, and you're good to go.
All right, 11 a.m. Girl says, how do I only have half a bottle of wine left? This is not going to get me through 4 hours of the game.
It's true.
And then it says, where's my game day button?
Yeah.
In all caps. Because you got to wear your game day button.
You do have to wear your game day button. And ever since I graduated college, I'm not going to lie, it feels weird. Like, looking at pictures, if I ever take pictures on game days, mm-hmm. I'm like, I want at least some type of button. I don't want to wear my sorority button. I get it. I'm graduated. I don't want to wear my sorority one anymore. Well, Paige, but at least like some type of
Paige's button. Paige's got one that's she really likes, and she only wears it when they play like Mississippi State or somebody. Like, it says Kick Mutt. She bought that before because Mississippi State was ranked number one in the country our senior year, and College Game Day was there. It was a big game, and she got the button. And really cute photo of me holding her up on my shoulders so she could see into College Game Day and see Corso make the headgear pick.
Oh, that's great.
So that's one of my favorite pictures from college. All right, it's noon. What's going on now? We finally made it. I can't believe Brock was wearing a Beta Moo sticker. Which moo is spelled like a moo cow.
If I'm you. No, that's what's so funny is that's why I was laughing when I was reading the names at the frats, because every frat and every sorority has their names. Like, mm-hmm. I was a Delta Zeta, and it was DZ Easy, because, mm-hmm. or Easy DZ.
I got that.
Yeah. And if I'm you is if I'm moo. I mean, every sorority, every frat has. So it's kind of funny they're trying to disguise the names in this.
And then guys, Natty and Miller, sweet, count me out. I'm not drinking either one of those. We the last most recent episode, if you can remember back that far, we did shitty frat house beers.
I think Paige's reaction was the best though.
Natty was among those, and it was pretty nasty. It wasn't as nasty as Bush Light, but it was pretty damn nasty.
Yeah.
All right, 1 o'clock. It's talking about the makeup melting off their face. Might I add? Might I add in this photo? It looks like wax, but it also looks like she just got like a cum facial.
That is terrible. I was not thinking that at all until you said that.
Does it not?
I can see that now.
Okay.
But definitely was not thinking that beforehand.
And then the guy said,
guy.
"All right, let's move. I want to practically be on the field because dudes are dudes." Then it's 2 p.m. or it's 2:30 p.m. It's game time. Girls Roll Tide. Guys Roll Tide. Girls go Vols. Guys go Vols.
There we go. Way to add that in at the end.
So that is a typical Saturday at an SEC school for an SEC student.
Yes, that is definitely 100% on point. I died laughing reading at this.
Yeah. So if you want to check that out, that's on theodysseyonline.com, courtesy of. Let me find her name. Bella Thorin, student at the University of Alabama. So, Sammy, I guess this will be able to transition us to our next segment, talking about our Total BS tailgate, as we were talking about a lot of the stuff here.
Yes.
We're going to go through some of... I asked Sammy what her go-to game day beverage was, and she comes at me with... You know, I really just drink my wine on game days. And what did I say to you? What did I call you?
A basic bitch.
Was I incorrect?
You are not incorrect. I will own up to that one.
So next segment, we're going to delve back into our Total BS tailgate segment, where Sammy is going to talk about her game day wines. And
I have another tradition. We'll talk about that one as well. I'll bring it out.
Yes. Stay tuned. More coming. More ahead with a Total BS tailgate.
Keeping things in perspective.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked.
This is Total BS.
And welcome back in. We are now moving into our Total BS tailgate segment, where we are accompanied by several of Sammy's favorite game day beverages.
Yes. So we already talked about how I love my game day wine.
Yes.
And I talked about how I'll get my little wine bottles and I'll stick them in my boots. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to carry anything around with you. You just stick them in your boots.
Some women put them other places.
Yeah, they do. I put them in my boots, though.
Bras, pants,
yes,
whatever. I mean,
they do. They even, we were talking about, they even make...
bladder flask.
Yes, they do. But I use the little bottles. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the mini bottles.
Yeah, they're great.
And
four of them equals one bottle. So...
Yeah, and you can do the, I mean, you can do mini bottles with you know, liquor, any sort of liquor you want.
Yeah, but I choose wine.
Of course.
We're going back to wine.
Yeah.
So
as we mentioned last segment, Sammy was filling it up over here.
Yes, and so I have a friend that is in Gatlinburg who has a winery. So right now we are drinking his wine. It's Tennessee Homemade Wines. If you like sweet wine, which I love a good sweet red, that's probably my favorite, which is what we're drinking right now. It's called Southern Red.
You know what is great about this wine? It color contrasts with this hideous orange. And it's quite crimson, to be honest.
Oh, yeah? We'll talk about the orange drinks in just a second. But on game days, I usually drink white. But he asked my favorite game day drink, so we're going to drink the Southern Red. And the orange that he was referring to. So anytime, I'm called the Monica of everyone.
That, and I've referenced you as that.
Yes, you have referenced me as that on the show. I love to host parties.
Always the hostess.
I am always the hostess, though I always forget to get Brooks a glass of water or introduce people. I'm terrible at that, but I love hosting parties and setting up for the parties, cooking. I love all of that. And so one thing I always make sure I have is some orange moonshine. And so it's the old smoky moonshine, which my friend in Gatlinburg, Aaron Maples, I think it's his brother-in-law. Somehow he's related to Old Smoky Moonshine as well. So that family's just killing it in Gatlinburg with the alcohol business. But it is the Big Orange Moonshine. So I'm going to have to try the Big Orange Moonshine. I always have everyone take a shot of it whenever, or take a pull, because it's moonshine. You don't pour it into a shot glass. You pull out of the mason jar. And so we'll let you have a little sample of that.
You want me to pull out?
Yeah. Oh, God. I didn't even catch it. It went straight over my head. I wish you guys could have seen my face whenever.
Oh, I mean, that was a sincere face. Like, that's what I want you to do.
Yeah, I want you to take a pull out of the mason jar. Lord of mercy.
I'm going to take a nice sniff here. This smells like orange Gatorade, and that's actually one of my favorite flavors of Gatorade.
That's actually what it tastes like too. I really do enjoy it.
You probably would. It would behoove yourself if you drink a lot of this to probably have some orange Gatorade on hand.
Yes.
To rehydrate.
You would definitely need that afterwards. And let's see what the verdict is.
That is quite tasty.
It is. So you enjoy the orange drink.
I do. Is that like purple drink?
It's a purple drink. And also,
if it was orange and purple drink, it'd be Clemson.
Yes. But this is the Big Orange Moonshine.
I know.
And also,
so do I have to try? What am I looking at here?
You're looking at some cherries. And I'm honestly not sure how these cherries are going to be. I'm going to give the backstory on them.
Okay.
So we tried to get all the alum back together. So
she's going
to
poison me.
I'm about to poison you. No, I'm not. We've talked about it, how I used to cover the baseball team whenever I was at UT. That was one of the main sports that I covered. And So me and some of the baseball girlfriends and some of the former players, we all get together for one game as alumni and just have a reunion. Last year it was for the Alabama game. We're doing it again this year for the Tennessee-Georgia game next week. And last year I bought these cherries. They are called, let's read it, Old Forge Distillery Game Day Cherries. And it's moonshine and cherries. They've been soaked for quite some time now. And I honestly forgot to... We took the cherries to the tailgate. We honestly forgot to eat the cherries because we were all socializing and we almost didn't make it to the game because we just were socializing so much. And so the Game Day Cherries ended up staying behind in Knoxville whenever I came back to Chattanooga. And I go to my friend Tyler Schultz's apartment to pick up my friend Sabes that I stayed in California with. And I go to pick him up. We were going to, long story short, we were trying to surprise his second family in Chattanooga at a softball tournament. So anyways, I pick him up in Knoxville to bring him to Chattanooga. And Schultz is like, I have your game day cherries. I still have them. And I was like, there's no freaking way you still have those cherries. This is about 10 months later, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this was a couple months ago. It was probably like a few months ago now.
So long story short, how old are the cherries?
Oh, but wait for it. I get to the apartment and the lid was not fully secured, so we're gonna see how these cherries taste. You're the
All right, I'm the guinea pig. Let's do
You're the guinea pig. There's no telling what these cherries are gonna taste like.
FYI, do not blame me.
I'm sorry, I'm a really bad storyteller. It gets really
FYI, do not blame me if I have to call out of work tomorrow. Blame Sammy.
I remember we tried a few of them, and it was definitely something special. I'm pretty sure it's like straight moonshine, not the orange moonshine.
Well, you are going to have to grab me a fork because I'm not sticking my finger in there.
Okay, 1 second.
While Sammy runs away, I also just realized that I'm not sticking my finger in there was a great, that's what she said. So I'm sitting here looking at these cherries. These are the, how do you say it? The maraschino, what are they called?
I have no idea. I just know that they're cherries.
I always call them Joe DiMaggio cherries because it's something like maraschino. It's some Italian name. Paige hates when I do that. That's the story. That's the case on a lot of things. So I'm just going to try one of them. I normally don't even like these cherries. I normally give the red cherry on top of the milkshake away.
Yeah.
These smell strong as shit.
I'm really curious to see what it's.
Wow, those are very freaking strong. Holy shit, all I taste is the moonshine.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was going to be the case. I didn't even know if they were still going to be good because I didn't know how long the top had been loose on the mason jar.
All right, big talker, you're next.
I'm next?
Hell yeah, you are.
Make me do one? Oh, God. Woo. I thought this was me sharing my game day traditions. Well, you get next week, you get to torture me.
Yeah, these, have you ever heard the, what's the old George Jones? The old George Jones song.
Oh, I'm gonna fall.
Sammy,
it's gonna be okay.
This is like Fear Factor right now for Sammy.
We're done. I did it.
Have you ever eaten one of them?
Yeah, I did last year for game day. I told you we had a few of them, but how many cherries do you think is in this thing?
Quite a few.
I mean, there's probably like 40 of us at that tailgate.
And y'all still didn't wipe them out?
No, because we wanted to save them for after the game because we were determined we were going to beat Alabama last year. Because, you know, I mean, going into that game,
You almost did the year before.
And the hype going into that game, I mean, it was, we felt really good about it. And so we wanted to save the cherries for after the game, which is a big reason why we were like, you know what, we're just going to drink our other drinks, socialize, and save these for after.
Then 49-10 happened, so. Yeah.
And then it was just bad. So the cherries, I guess they'll be making another trip back to Knoxville next weekend.
There you go. Maybe have them beforehand.
He honestly scared me, though, whenever he was – I woke them up whenever I went to go pick up Sabes, and Schultz just shot up, and he said, cherries! I'm like, there's no way you still have those.
So I don't know if you ever heard the old George Jones song, White Lightning, which is a nickname for moonshine.
Yes, that definitely describes that right there.
Well, talking about one of the things he says in the song was that it burned his stomach.
Mm-hmm. Did that burn your stomach, Brooks?
It burnt the inside of my mouth. I mean, you can run your damn car off moonshine, so.
Yeah, you have to. The thing
these
is,
are basically ethanol-soaked cherries.
Definitely. I told you, it's straight moonshine. It's not the orange Gatorade flavored moonshine you tried at first.
Well, that is
the key is just to take like a bite and then swallow it.
That's all grain, that's corn whiskey, like that's the total grain like stuff like when you drink like Everclear or some shit like that. Which Everclear, man,
takes me back to the frat houses when they make that Hunch Punch.
Yep, Hunch Punch. What's the what's another one? Pink Panty Peeler.
Yep.
Whatever people call it.
Pink panty chopper.
Either I've heard pink panty peeler.
Yeah.
No, whichever one. They're just trying to get the women's panties off is what it ultimately results in.
Yeah.
Get them drunk and get their underwear off.
So classy.
So classy.
Stay classy, everyone.
All right. This is the Total BS tailgate. Some of Sammy's favorite game day drinks. I enjoyed all of it up until the cherry because the cherry was fairly strong. I think I'm going to be all right though.
What was your favorite out of the three?
I think my tolerance has my tolerance for strong shit has kind of gone down since college. I'm more of a beer and wine guy. I was never much of a spirits guy in college, but
yeah.
If you were out at a party and somebody was like, "Let's take a shot," obviously you're going to do it, and you just, it's like.
You suck it up.
Yeah, you suck it up. Man up, bro. Take a shot.
Exactly.
That'll get you to, I don't care if I'm 60, if somebody does that to me, I'm son of
all
a
right.
bitch. Gotta do it.
Exactly.
My favorite, honestly, the orange moonshine was very good. I think it would have been a little bit better. I think it would have been good chilled over some, like on the rocks or something like that.
Yeah, but that's what we do every time. You take a pull.
Take a pull. Pull out.
Your favorite was the orange moonshine, and I have you drinking out of a Go Vols with a Power Tea on it beer mug.
Yes.
I think this episode is a win.
For you.
Got the bammer to drink orange moonshine in a Go Vols mug.
Yeah, whatever. You're going to piss me off after I pissed John Reed off earlier in the show. So when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. Some news headline tidbits. Stay tuned. More ahead on Total BS.
Never overlooking our opponents.
The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Total BS with Brooks Carter and Sammy Kincaid.
And welcome back into Total BS. Going to wrap up the show here. And, Sammy, there has been one guy who has been dominating fantasy leagues this year.
Yes.
And I'll be damned if our sports director didn't get him on his fantasy team. And he scored about 30 to 40 points both weeks of the NFL season so far.
Exactly.
Kareem Hunt, rookie running back from Kansas City.
Rookie of the year?
Through 2 weeks, for sure. I mean, he's been stellar. And, you know, you look at what that Chiefs offense has been over the last few years, he's filling that void that Jamaal Charles once filled for the Chiefs, and now Charles has since moved on and is with the Broncos. So, you know, you look at the Chiefs, in my mind, have two of the most electrifying, versatile playmakers in all of football with Tyreek Hill and I just forgot his name.
Kareem Hunt?
Yes. Just had a brain fart. I'm sorry. Yeah, Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill. I mean, they've got two of the most electrifying playmakers in all of the NFL right now. And
complete baller.
Yeah. And anybody that's got him on their fantasy league is just tickled with themselves right now.
Now we have you in the mornings at least to talk some football. Before it was only me and John that would talk football. Everyone else, they call it sports ball.
Sports ball?
Sports ball.
Well, that could be for any sport that has a ball.
Exactly. And so it's nice to have another voice, but I don't know if you heard John talking about how he has Hunt on one of his other fantasy teams.
Yeah.
He's had him on the bench for both weeks.
What the hell's wrong with him?
Especially after the first week. How do you not put him in your lineup? He's obviously a playmaker.
Yeah, well, if John...
On his bench 2 weeks in a row.
If John Martin was NFL GM, he would have been fired by now. So,
absolutely.
So, some other news tidbits going on. We were talking about the Chargers earlier. Longtime Chargers legend Antonio Gates breaks the NFL record for career touchdown receptions by tight end, breaking my favorite tight end in NFL history, Tony Gonzalez, former Chief, former Falcon.
Yeah, they were tied with 111. Now he has 112.
Yeah, and both players played basketball in college and transcended that position. You look at the tight end position now, so many of the great tight ends now were former basketball players. And he's an elite company when you think about him and Tony Gonzalez. Obviously, a slowed down a stab. I don't even know if he's the number. I don't even think he's the number one tight end on the team anymore. I think Hunter Henry gets more snaps than Gates does. But a phenomenal career, to say the least.
Absolutely. And you saw he didn't break a record, but everyone was talking about Gronk's 69th touchdown.
Well, he references the number 69 anytime he gets a chance. Anytime.
He does. Do you think he could catch up to them at any point?
It all depends on his health. He's a guy who has missed a game or two at least. At least every year. Obviously, he was out for an extended period of time last year. Wasn't even a part of their championship run.
Yeah.
But when he's there, he's productive, and he always has been. And
he was just another one grabbing the hot headlines after this weekend.
Yeah, he's something else. He's the only guy I've seen that can party that hard and not get just absolutely killed by the media.
Yeah.
Because he goes out and performs. It's almost like it's endearing. I don't know.
Endearing. That's a good way to put it. But also breaking another record, Tom Brady setting the record with 3 passing touchdowns in the first quarter.
First time in his career.
Yeah.
And how many years has he been in the league? 100?
I was supposed to say 1,500.
Oh, Lord. He's 40, and he's still doing great things. Has over 400 yards passing. I can't remember. I think it was like 20 and 30 games now he's had 400 yards or more passing in his career, which is just absolutely ridiculous. That this guy, if you've heard any of the interviews with him, he feels better now at 40 than he did when he was 27. He said that because he's got a full-time nutritionist. He's released his own – he and his wife, Giselle, have released this on their own like health and fitness book talking about their diet. I think he eats mostly vegetarian, mm-hmm. and he just takes incredible care of himself. And, I mean, this guy's not slowing down. Why is he not slowing down? He's 40. Get out of the NFL.
Yeah.
We're tired of seeing you. Sammy hates you because she's a Dolphins fan.
Exactly. I was super happy after this weekend, though.
Yeah. Why is that?
First game, because – first game, week one.
Oh, yeah.
Moved, and they ended up winning. It wasn't looking too promising until the very end, and we were talking about the Chargers.
Speaking of fantasy, Jarvis did good for me last week.
I've never been so mad. I don't know if I was more mad at you or this guy we work with, Chris Brantley. So you took Jarvis Landry,
mm-hmm.
who I'm friends with, and Brantley took Golden Tate, who has been my big brother. He was my big brother all through high school. Still calls me his little sis. And you both took those two guys early. Earlier than what I thought they should have gone. But, well, I mean, Jarvis, I mean, I'll give you that one. He was my number two receiver.
I took him behind Mike Evans, who had a hell of a week, too. I didn't get to start either one of them in the first week because they were playing each other and the game got canceled because of Irma, or rescheduled due to Irma. So, last thing on the news and tidbits making headlines. Thief in the Night.
Yes, I love this. Javon Hagan.
Defensive back, is it?
For Ohio.
Ohio
for
University.
For the Bobcats. He did it against Kansas. He did it against Troy. And he even said he did it last season, stealing the towels out of the opponent's back pockets.
Yeah, so the
guys. They call him Thief in the Night.
The guys, the other team has had towels stuffed in the back of their pants. And after plays, you know, she yanks the towel right out of there. I don't know what his prerogative is. it's funny, but also kind of douchey at the same time.
I'm dying at these videos. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something, like, why do...
Well, you know what's going to happen is he's going to do it to somebody, and then the next play, they're going to pull the freaking guard on him and just have him clean his ass out on the sideline.
Yeah. No. I think it's because he
is noted now. People know that he is doing this.
Exactly. It's going to be a little bit harder for him to be the thief in the night. It's going to be more like thief in the daytime.
I would dare to say that their head coach, Frank Solich, has probably informed him that he should no longer do this since it's gotten such attention from all these different media outlets.
Yeah. I don't know how he got away with it. He said he did it all last season, and then he's doing it this season, too. How did he get away with it for so long?
We're talking about Ohio. How many of their games get televised?
I mean, this is true.
This is a MAC school. All right, guys, that's it for Total BS this week, the relaunch. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for tuning in. And we are back after our hiatus, and we really appreciate our listenership, our loyal listeners that tune in every week.
Love getting the messages asking. So I hope you all enjoyed this episode.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week with more Total BS. Thanks, guys. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on.